Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Isn't it time that you powerfully aligned with your soul's purpose and activated your divine gifts and talents so that you can thrive in the new paradigm? Welcome to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert. You've been divinely guided here because something deep within your diamond light longs to be activated so that you can joyously evolve through your ascension journey. Congratulations! You have arrived at the right place. After 20,000 soul purpose and healing sessions, Jennifer now joyfully shares with you her profound wisdom and experience in the Akashic Records, multidimensional healing, and all that is relevant to your creation story as a unique spark of divine light, love. Join us for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. Now, here's your host, Jennifer Longmore.
Welcome, everyone, to Soul Purpose Central. I'm your host, Jennifer Longmore, founder of souljourneys.ca, and you are in for a treat today because we are speaking with the one and only Deb Scott, who is an amazing author. She's a certified professional coach and a motivational speaker, and she really helps to inspire people to transform all of the bad things that we perceive that happen to us into good things and help you really connect in with the amazing person that you are in your heart and your soul and be able to grow from that place. So no matter what's happened in your life, she can help you kind of flip that around and see a different way of looking at that. She has years and years of experience helping people. She also has a radio show, which I'm proud to be a guest on. It's called The Best People We Know on Blog Talk Radio. And her book is called, Deb, help me out here because I've got dyslexia.
The sky is green and the grass is blue. Just kind
I knew
of
I was
turning
gonna stir
things
that up.
Around. Well, you know what it is? People automatically, I see it all the time in Twitter and all that. It's like, and the sky is blue, and the grass is green, and the green sky is blue. It's a tongue twister. So
yeah, I could feel it about to come out of my mouth wrong. I thought, oh, I better just have you say it. And you can learn more about her at www.greenskyandbluegrass.com. So welcome, Deb, to the show.
It is a pleasure, a privilege, an honor, all of the above, to be a guest on your fantastic hit show. I love what you're doing, what you're about. Or as we were saying earlier, we are the Mutual Admiration Society, and we include all of the listeners in on that too. So we are just the best people we know, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Yeah, and it's not easy being this great, is it?
Oh, I know. It's just like you know, really, we never have any problems, right? We're
exactly.
I don't know.
It's hard to be perfect. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I tell you, I think the more it's the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. It's humbling.
Absolutely. And wisdom comes when you realize that you don't know really much at all, and that you're open to learn it. So absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, I know you've had an interesting journey up until this point, and there may be some people listening right now that aren't as familiar with your work and how you arrived at this place where you've written this amazing award-winning book that everyone's talking about. So maybe you could give us some insight as to how you arrived here.
Well, right now I'm in my late 40s, so I'm not finished yet. So we're going to find out where that goes. But by trade or education, my education as an undergrad was in biology, and I took that into the medical sales arena, and I ended up specializing in cardiac surgery sales, specifically things like beating heart surgery equipment, saphenous vein harvesting. So I did that for about 20 years, and I am in the Boston area, but I had lived in different locations in the country, in the South and other areas, and did a lot of traveling for that type of work. And I spent a lot of time in the operating room, and I spent a lot of time with surgeons and a lot of time in life-threatening situations that required, you know, a lot of compassion, but a lot of knowledge and skill and really being available. And I loved that work. I really did. I loved it when I did it. And being a woman in that area and being a top salesperson, I did have a very blessed career. I won a lot of sales awards, and I made a fair amount of money. You know, that type of profession, you can make a couple hundred thousand dollars a year if you're doing well. And I did well in that business, but I had a lot of other things in my life, that personal life, you know, that stuff that we have growing up, those things that I didn't realize were affecting my life on the inside. So I was engaged twice, but never getting married. You know, I didn't think about, well, there might have been some alcoholism in my family growing up, or that experience of being molested by a teacher in school, that really didn't affect me, or some of the other dysfunctional things. You know, I never realized what was the root cause of some of these insecurities, some of these issues. And like most people listening, the outside is not necessarily the inside, and everybody experiences similar things. We all want to be happy. We've all experienced pain, loss. You know, we all want to be peaceful. Everybody's looking to find their purpose. You know, and really, we all have different packages and different colored wrapping papers, but we have the same stuff inside. You know, it's not really that different whether somebody's, you know, across the continent or speaking a different language. The human condition is similar. But for me, you know, when about at the end of those 20 years, my mom was really sick. The company that I had been working for was having a buyout, and I just said, I'm taking a sabbatical. And I think that divine intervention is what really shifted my life to a new place even more than before, because my mother had cancer. I was a sole caregiver for her. She was my best friend, and she had passed away. And then my dad, I was a sole caregiver for him. He passed away within a year of her. And then, you know, all these other things started happening. But one of the things my mother made me promise before she passed away was to finish this book I had been working on, because I would go around talking to customers and medical sales and talking to friends and just sharing all this knowledge that I was thirsting to understand of, I gotta make sense. Why does everything seem so, you know, the irony, the paradox, upside down, so to speak. You know, things shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be like this. Or, you know, and I wanted desperately to find out how all this stuff in life that I didn't want, that I could somehow want or find useful. And I found other people on the journey seeking the same things. And that was really how the book came about. And then, of course, other things have happened since then. So now my life is really about sharing whatever I can before I leave, so that I can be the person I wish I had met, you know, when I was younger. I work with a lot of teens, and whether it's business or teens or corporations or individuals, you know, there's certain common threads. And I think that, Jennifer, you certainly know that in your work. And I truly believe I get more than anything that I ever give. It's that reciprocal law. If you want something, give it away first, and it has to stick to you in the process before anybody else. But, you know, there is no right or wrong to being us. There's a left foot and a right foot, and they're both different for a reason. And I think that if we can just shift that mindset, we'd get a little bit more comfortable in our skin. If we enjoyed our own company, loved who we were, you know, got off the reality shows on TV and started getting into the real life reality of our own lives, would be a lot better. And in that process, you know, I think life becomes not always easier, but certainly more rewarding and peaceful. I never knew a diamond that didn't get formed without some pressure. You know, if you like a glass of wine, it's the pressure on the grapes. You know, there are certain laws in nature, there's things that are going to happen, but it's that reality of what I should expect, what I should not expect, what I should seek to accept, what I should seek to understand, and knowing the differences. And I think that brings a peace that really is detached from circumstances. Mm-hmm. So it's been an interesting journey. And then the radio show and all of that, any vehicle to get a message out that's good, we'll use it, right? Right, mm-hmm. Jennifer? We'll use any vehicle we can get. Put the seeds out in the yard, and then they just sort of land where they're going to.
Yeah, I love, well, I love everything you just shared, and I particularly liked the part about being the person that you want to meet. That's a really profound statement. I think everyone, that's a writer downer. People need to write that down.
Somebody else said it. There's, you know, I mean, all these things get recycled through the ages, you know,
yeah.
From Socrates on.
Yeah, and I love that it's your mission to just share everything that you've, all the wisdom that you've accumulated up until this point in your life and just keep paying it forward, because that's really what it's all about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is being the message. So, and I love too how, because I talk about this a lot on the show, I certainly had that not a similar life experience, but just a similar sort of, I guess you could say, formula in aligning with my purpose, in that it's those moments that we go through, those pressure moments that you were talking about, that actually take us into places that we didn't necessarily anticipated we'd be, but we're so grateful we're here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can say that about your journey at this point, because certainly some of the stuff that we go through, and with the loss of your parents, for example, and different things like that, I mean, when we're going through it, we're not exactly excited and jumping for joy, obviously, and yet we can look back on those experiences and at least take the silver lining from it.
Absolutely. I mean, we live life forward, but, you know, we only understand it looking back, but that doesn't mean that you don't have to live it forward. And I think that that's really what, you know, maybe your listeners that tune into you, I think the listeners that I have would probably be similar in demographics, but I think that's what everybody wants to know is that, you know what, that bad event, or what I quote-unquote say is bad, that painful event, you know, that's not my whole life. That isn't defining everything. But if I consider that everything in my life, good or bad, is working to something good, to this present moment, if I knew that all of the things I desire most have come from a seed of something I wanted the least, mm-hmm. doesn't that change the perspective on, oh, the pressure's off? You know, it takes it away from being a victim to being a collaborative participant with God, with the universe, with a plan. But I think that that really comes through a lot of pain and suffering. Unfortunately, sometimes that's what we, you know, is the only way we're going to detach from all that outer stuff. But the inner peace, you know, that's priceless. And I don't know about you, but, you know, there's nothing to me, especially as I get older, more important than that. And, you know, everybody says money isn't everything, but everybody still wants to find out for themselves, you know? What's up with that?
What is up with that?
You know, and it's easy to talk, but it's really the actions. I mean, it really doesn't matter what people say. You know, the wife beater can tell his wife, I love you, honey, but if she's giving you, you know, if he's giving you a black eye, I mean, what are you going to go by, the words or the actions? And mm-hmm. I think you get to a place where you just realize you have to go by the actions. You have to go by your own actions of the truth of who you are, and you have to go by the actions of the truth that other people are. And accepting that you can't change other people, I mean, I don't know about you and the listeners, but most days it's hard enough to change myself without worrying about anybody else, you know? So I think the focus has to be on what we can control and knowing what we can't, knowing that we don't change other people. And then that understanding of, well, why do we want to change other people anyway, mm-hmm. you know? And that idea that, could that possibly be a control issue? And could that control issue probably be from an insecurity of low self-esteem and a fear? Is that a possibility? Well, then maybe working on, you know, knowing that you're loved and valuable as you are, maybe if you work on healing that wound, the salt won't hurt when it's thrown on you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just kind of thinking in a new way about what bothers you, what doesn't bother you, why it bothers you, where it comes from, how to fix it, and just being open open to the consideration and possibility that it may not be exactly the way you think it is.
Mm.
You know, and that's why I love radio shows like yours, books, any type of learning. I can't live long enough to live everybody else's life. I'm not going to, you know, some days we don't even know when our day's up. But, gosh, you can buy a book for 10 or 15 bucks. You can listen to a radio show for free. You can buy an MP3, and you can get somebody else's life, you know, 40 years, 30 years, 50 years, 80 years, and you can get their life, you know, that you can't live in an hour or a week or a day. I mean, what a gift. You know, there's just so many great people out there to learn from, and I think the world is starving for good mentors. I really do.
Mm, absolutely, and even a lot of the big mentors are saying, where's my mentors? They're, you know,
yeah,
they're looking for some fresh blood as well. I'd like to stick with what you mentioned around trying to control other people, because I had a good little chuckle in my head as you were talking, and was going to just play around and say, but what am I going to do if I can't use other people as an energy of distraction to not focus on myself?
Mm.
But, you know, when we look at what's going on for people and trying to control other people, what has been your experience about what they're trying to avoid?
Mm. It's that old saying, don't go to the hardware store for bread. You know, the problem is, it's true, isn't it? Is it the hardware store problem that they're not carrying bread, or is it you for going there thinking they're going to have it when it says only hardware sold here, you know?
Yeah.
And really, I think what it is, you know, that idea that control, we want the control. Whatever you really are looking at, whatever you want, whatever you feel comes up for you emotionally, you know, if it's control, let's take that as an example because it's a real good one. I want to control this other person. If this other person just did this, then I would be happy. If this boss wasn't X, Y, and Z, I would be happy. If my husband, if my kids, you know, if the neighbor, if whoever. So, you know, and I'm fascinated by this, and I love, it's the old biology major in me. I love studies. I love to read about psychological studies, scientific studies. I also love to hear subjective things from people. And, you know, all of that together, I think, creates that recipe. You put a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and then it creates something different that's even better. But controlling, the idea, I have to control. Why do you have to control? Well, because I want you to do what I want. Why is that? Because I feel more safe or secure when I can control a situation. So what does that mean? That means that I don't feel like I have control over a situation. And what does that mean? Well, that means I don't feel safe. I don't feel loved. I don't feel accepted. I feel vulnerable. So my illusion of having control over people, places, and things makes me feel more powerful, more in control, more secure. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you know, I could, you know, really it ultimately gets to not trusting, not believing, not knowing that you are good enough, just exactly as you are, or you're not loved enough, or maybe there's no higher power. I mean, you find people, study after study, people that have God, universe, some sort of spiritual strength that know that there's some power greater than themselves that cares about them, that's been around longer than them, that has a purpose and a plan in their life, and that they're here for a specific reason. You find those people are usually the most agile in looking at the good and the bad as not being good or bad, but as things working together somehow for an eventual good, maybe not in the moment, but eventually. So if control becomes a red flag, a stop sign. You're driving down the street. You see a stop sign. What do? You don't freak out. You stop. You know it's there to protect you. So God gives us emotions and feelings, fear and joy and all of these things we experience in our senses for a reason. They're signs on the journey of life, just like we drive down to the grocery store. So if you see a stop sign, you stop, you pause, you know it's helping you not get in more danger by driving when you shouldn't be driving and getting hit when you shouldn't be getting hit by another car. So if we look at that fear, anger, or control as a stop sign to say, hey, what's going on inside me right now? If you feel like you have to control your husband or your whoever, if that's coming up for you, what is that saying? Let's put the brakes on, slow down, and think for a minute. Okay, I'm feeling like I don't have control over this person. I'm feeling fearful. I'm feeling anxious. I've got high blood pressure. I'm sweating. I'm shaking. Whatever you're doing, it's all negative and it's not good and it's not supposed to be. It wouldn't stop you if it was, you know, making you feel happy. You just keep on going. So you need to stop for a reason because something's wrong. Okay, so now there's an opportunity for you to fix something, to heal a wound. When you go in for surgery, if you have a cancer and they cut it out, you feel worse before you feel better. But that doesn't stop you because you know in the end, if you don't have the surgery and get that cancer cut out of you, you're going to die. It's going to go everywhere. So being grateful for the opportunity to recognize that something's wrong in you, to have this feeling of needing control, is a gift. It's a gift from God so that you can, you know, heal, cut it out, get rid of it. And really, it's an issue in our own selves, something that we feel. Control itself or anger, any of these emotions, you can't put them in a box, but nobody denies that they're not tangible and real. Yet we look to fix the intangible with the tangible. An intangible emotion cannot be fixed with a tangible action. If so-and-so did this, if so-and-so did that. So we need to get the right tools to fix the right problems. That will help. Don't get a rubber hammer to build a house. It's not going to happen. So if you have a spiritual problem, spiritual solution. And that's where coming in to with control, it really gets down to you're not feeling good enough and that fear of vulnerable, that fear of not feeling safe. And that's something that's a spiritual disease that can be fixed by doing what I call the Fab Five. You know, recognizing that you don't know what you don't know, there's an issue going on. You know, taking that time to be quiet. Silence is always something, I call it prayer, but that silence, where we can hear those things that we most loudly need to know, they're spoken in the silence of the heart. And that's why you have these feelings and emotions. You know, you have to get good seeds in your head. You have to surround yourself in transformation. If you want to be a better tennis player, you play with somebody better, not worse. If you want to learn new ideas, you go to somebody that has more ideas than you, not less. You know, if you want to smell like a pile of manure, go stand next to that for an hour. But if you want to smell like some perfume, you better get that spraying on. So whatever you're next to, whatever you surround yourself around, that's going to be transformational for you. Just by the natural consequences of you being there, you're going to pick it up. You know, you walk into a baseball field, you get a different energy than watching it on TV, but you're still doing the same thing. You're seeing the game. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do to get antibiotics into our spirit, into our mind. You know, and the other thing that's a real good one of the Fab Five is really volunteering. You know, you always give. If you want more love, give more love. If you want a better relationship with your child, go out and help another child. If you have a fear of being homeless, go out and work in a homeless shelter. You know, if you're whatever it is, Wayne Dyer, there's a spiritual solution to every problem. And it is so true. And, you know, it's not really difficult. It's not really difficult. It's not difficult to keep your plant alive, putting water in it every day, but what it takes is consistency and a good habit, a good virtue versus a vice, you know? And I think that we get caught up in the counterfeit happiness and buying the lies that have been sold to us, and we forget to turn on our own intuition, because circumstances have really rusted it up and we need a little tune-up. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I would challenge everybody, you know, if you want to put it in terms of cars, if everybody has a Mercedes in their driveway for free as a gift today, that's great. But guess what? If you don't put the key in your hand and turn the ignition, you're not going to enjoy the benefit of it. So right now, everybody is a jewel. Everybody is their own one-of-a-kind, shine, diamond, whatever. And, you know, the problem isn't that you don't have what you need. The problem is, you know, getting somebody to teach you maybe what it is, or how to just make those small changes to turn that key to get things going. But the good news is that every single thing that happens to us, you know, it all can be transformed for something good, and it is working for something good. But you have to be in that mindset to be willing to believe about the possibilities, because, you know, there's nothing you can do without that open heart that it's possible. You know, there's no way you're going to be able to open the door if you don't take that quick motion to turn that key. And that's what I hope people get out of today, is that there's lots of things they already have that they've yet to discover. And, you know, I think that shows like this are great mind openers.
Absolutely, I agree with you. And I just want to bring you back a moment ago when you were talking about counterfeit happiness. What do you mean by that?
The counterfeit happiness. For example, a lot of men today, you know, the really big problem, well, I guess it can be with the women too, but more with men, would be porn. Internet porn. So if we take that as an example, counterfeit happiness. I'm going to feel better about myself. I'm going to feel, you know, more like a man, or I'm going to feel more hot, or whatever it is. You know, I'm going to get my fix. I want to be loved. I want to feel a certain way. So I'm going to buy the counterfeit happiness. I'm going to do the act or see the act in a way that wasn't necessarily intended to try to get a result. I'm gonna pay money for the knockoff Rembrandt and still think that I bought the original that's worth millions. It doesn't work that way. Everybody wants the fast food drive-through life, and that isn't the way it goes. You don't plant a seed in the ground and it doesn't come up 20 feet in 20 minutes. I mean, there are just certain things you have to accept. People say, well, that's why I have a little bit of a problem sometimes with the law of attraction, because you don't want to say, well, I just think it, I think it, I think it. Well, you can think there's no gravity, but if you jump off a 20-foot story building, you're going to die, okay? I'm sorry. There are just certain things you have to accept that exist. But the counterfeit happiness, you know, people want real intimate relationships of deep meaning and value, yet they engage in behaviors that are shallow, not intimate, and objectify the other person as a body rather than a soul. You're looking for a relationship with a soul, but you, in your words, but your actions are, you're objectifying somebody's body in a physical form as if they didn't have a soul. Well, you can't have it both ways, you know. It's sort of like a partial truth is a whole lie. I mean, you can't be a little bit pregnant. You know, there are certain things that either are or aren't. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I mean about the counterfeit happiness. And the thing is that people forget that discipline and all of that stuff that nobody wants to suffer, that is the easy part. The suffering is being miserable buying the counterfeit happiness. You know, so I would challenge anybody to say, hey, listen, You know, oh, I don't want to work that hard to get better, Deb. I don't want to do all those things. Well, how's it been working for you so far, being miserable doing all the things you've been doing? How about you try this? I mean, it's tough work to be miserable. I mean, it takes a lot of energy out of you. You don't sleep well. You're always anxiety-ridden. And I tell you that, you know, and you mentioned it at the beginning of the show, the reason people get into this stuff is because of their own personal experience. You know, people do things out of their own personal experience. Something changed them, and usually that's their gift, and that's what they share with other people. And I want to be the me that I wish I had met a lot of years ago. And you are the, you know, you really have to decide, because none of us are staying. And we don't know if it's today or tomorrow, when it is. But everybody on this call, no matter where you are, we all die. And that should be a real motivator to live and to live well, you know. And I think that sometimes we need to get into the reality of what it's about, and then the process can take its course in a more natural, comfortable way. But it's not going to happen without doing a little bit of effort. I mean, my clothes didn't jump out on me this morning in the closet. I don't know. Did yours? I mean, there's nothing in life that doesn't take some effort. But it's reciprocal. You're going to get what you give, and it's as simple as that. And you know, the thing that people want to hear, and what is the thing people need to hear. You know, we have to redefine our definition of love. You asked about counterfeit happiness. Well, is it really loving if I tell you, if I'm your doctor, if I was one of those cardiac surgeons that I knew years ago, if I had heart trouble? And I went into them and said, you know, I've got heart trouble, and they did a test, and my LAD was occluded, and my, you know, CIRC was occluded, and my RCA was occluded, and all that stuff. And the doctor said, oh, no worry, you know, all these things are 90% occluded, but go home and be happy and drink and be merry. Is that loving? No, I heard what I wanted to hear, but that wasn't loving. The loving thing would be to say, look, you need a quadruple bypass. You're going to come in for some radical surgery. I'm going to cut your chest open, put you back together with wires. You're going to feel like hell, but then afterwards you're going to heal and you're going to live a long life. That would be loving. So we have to really redefine these words we use, and we really have to think about what we're thinking about and challenge ourselves. And, you know, there's more than enough for all of us to do on our own self-improvement than worry about everybody else. So it's a full-time job.
Indeed. Well, if you're just tuning in right now, everyone, you are tuning in to a very special truth-telling comedy power hour at Soul Purpose Central with the amazing rock star Deb Scott, who is telling it to us like it is. She's the author of The Sky is Green and The Grass is Blue, and you can learn more about her at www.greenskyandbluegrass.com. So, Deb, before, what kind of got us on this roll was talking about trying to control other people, and I'm just kind of throwing out things to you because I know people are thinking them, and I hear the yeah buts, and people said, yeah, but what about this? So there's things that are being perpetuated in the media and so on that people are going to say, well, I don't have control over the economy, so how do I apply all of this lovely wisdom to, you know, dealing with the fact that my life has changed and there's this crappy economy going on right now?
Hey, listen, I'm the first one to talk about the crappy economy, you know. I will be the first one to say that I feel the pain when it comes to money. I had a lot of money, parents' money, my money, and it went into one of those very newsworthy Ponzi schemes that we all saw a few years ago. And it wasn't like there was another, it wasn't like, you know, I'm not Paris Hilton, I don't have like another $1 million in the other end of the bedroom. You know, we're talking, this was a 6% term certificate in a United States bank that was laundering money overseas, which is just a real, real crime. And it's terrible. And there's bad things happening to good people. But here's the thing. What are the good things that you can list that have come out of this tragedy. Because I guarantee you, there's always something good. And it's not how you feel, because we all feel like crap when it's happening, and you said that before. I didn't like it when my hard-earned money was being stolen to somebody who was using it on prostitution or their own decadence. Is it wrong? Yeah, damn right it's wrong. Damn right it's wrong. But me being able to detach and let go and know, number one, we all get what we give in the end. In this world or the next, guess what? This instant, eternity's a lot longer. That's the first thing. You have to believe that. The second thing is, what did I learn from this? What did I learn? Now, for me, I'll use myself as an example, but with the money situation, because it's been very traumatic for me, on top of losing my parents, everything that I had with them. So I would say, for me, and you write down yours, I learned that I'm still alive. Despite the fact that the money's gone, I am still here. What does that tell me? Oh, money is not really my life. Because if it was, I'd be dead. Number two, do I still have friends? Do I still have hopes? Do I still have dreams? You know what? I lost some friends, but maybe they weren't quite what we would put in that definition of friend. Because how do you define friend? Somebody who loves you unconditionally the way you are, who wants to help you get to heaven more than they want to drag you to hell. That's my definition. So those people that aren't in my life anymore, fine, but there's other people that I met that are in. So now I've got the quality people in my life that maybe I would never have known the difference had that event not catalyzed it. Number three, I have learned that I can do with a lot less. I have learned to appreciate the things that I can't buy with money much more than the things that I could buy with money. So now I have had an opportunity to get a value and a perspective to see things in a different way, because when you don't have the money to spend, you don't have the money to spend. So what are you going to do with your day? How are you going to view yourself? What are you going to find as fulfillment? You know, and then there's another, here's another great gift. It gives one a chance to really define what it is they want to do. Because working, and we all need to make money, we all have bills. But again, we're not staying. So there's that real gift in deciding, how can I make the money I need to make with the purpose that I'm designed to share, that will bring me the happiness that I want to feel? You know, there's a lot of things that would never happen inside our souls without the pressure of those horrible circumstances, financial tragedy being one of them. And, you know, taking things for granted and being grateful, you know, those are two powerful ways of looking at each day. And again, I'm not going to be the one to ever be a Pollyanna saying, hey, those things are great. I'm not going to tell you that the guy that lost both of his legs, you know, volunteering in the war, you know, that's a great thing that he lost both his legs. But I am going to tell you that the person who lost all their life savings, the person who is suffering physical, you know, difficulties, the person that's in tears, the person that feels like they'd rather die than be alive, you know, maybe this show, maybe something they read, something they hear, maybe somebody else will give them an insight to recognize that this isn't all there is, and the things that matter most, they're now going to be able to get what they've always wanted and always needed. And had these negative things not occurred, they would never have that gift. And there's time and time and time and time again. Repeated stories. Some of the greatest people in our time of all time have suffered great, great tragedy. In fact, it seems to be a prerequisite for greatness. It's like, hey, if you're going to be great in this life, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have tribulations. There's just no way around it. How can somebody have compassion for you if they've never experienced anything similar to what you're going through? You know, it's just impossible to have both. Everybody wants the testimony, but nobody wants the test to go with it. It's just one of those things that happens in life to every single person in a different way, whether it's losing money and losing a job or, you know, something else that we don't want, maybe what we need. And hopefully what this show does is create a catalyst for somebody to consider, just consider, that the gift is around the corner, to not give up 5 minutes before the miracle. Maybe the best is yet to come. What if, you know, 10 years from now you look back and the thing that you didn't want happening, the thing you complained about most, was the very thing that got you everything you ever wanted? You know, it's like, thank God for unanswered prayers. You go to your high school reunion, you wanted to marry Joe, and you realize that, wow, Joe is just a wife abuser. He's just looking awful. He doesn't take care of himself. And you're saying, oh, I'm so glad I didn't marry Joe. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's just all of these things that we have to take time to investigate. We have to take time to challenge ourselves. And that's hard.
Absolutely. It makes me think of something, too, as you're sharing that, because we don't know what's going to happen 10 years from now. But we tend to want to, I call it like conditional spirituality, where we want to know the whole blueprint for our whole life very clearly, the whole roadmap, not a single detour, not a single, you know, fork in the road, like, where am I going? And we're not going to take a single step until we know that it's worthwhile walking forward. And we want all these things, and yet we know when we drive a car, whether we have our regular lights on in the dark or our high beams, you know, we can only see so far ahead of us, but we're still willing to drive, knowing that with each, you know, kind of movement of the tires, we keep moving along the path, and we just have to surrender and trust that the light will continue to show us where we're going and get us to where we need to be and give us enough time to see any obstacles that are in the way so that we can make, you know, informed choices about how we want to respond. And yet when we live our life that way, and particularly our purpose, we have all these conditions that we want to be placing in the way of that.
It's so true, and I love the headlights. I mean, and that's the type of stuff that we need to get exposed to, because, you know, thinking about that, it's like, oh, well, that makes so much sense. Yeah, why do I get in my car and 20 feet in front of me at night is okay to only, you know, see those 20 feet, but yet my whole life I want to know exactly where it's going to be. I mean, it's kind of crazy that we do that to ourselves instead of, you know, expecting that today is a day to be grateful, because a lot of people on this call today might not be here tomorrow, or their loved ones might not be here tomorrow. And, you know, that's another illusion that we have, time. Everybody thinks they have all this time, but that's another illusion that, you know, is not necessarily healthy, which is why if I could give anybody one takeaway tip to do, I would say get with yourself after this call. Just be quiet for 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes. And I would say pray, but somebody else might say something else. And just be quiet with yourself. No TV, no kids, no MP3s, no cell phones, nothing. Just 10 minutes of total silence. And see what comes up from what will come up for you. You'll be surprised.
I love that. It's interesting that you share that, because just recently I had this awareness. I haven't lived this way for a while, but I had this awareness of someone asking me, you know, what's one advice you would give to your 20-year-old self, basically, and mine would have been, or is, and to everyone listening, it's really around time. I look at how much time I wasted, if it's such a thing, right? But whatever, I misused time worrying so much about what other people thought. that there were many, many things that I didn't do in my 20s that I wished I had have done now. I mean, I'm still, it's fine and I've done them, you know, but I wished I had have done them sooner. But I had all of these monkey mind sort of things jumping around on my head. And, yeah, I mean, you do arrive at a place in your life where you realize that time is very, very precious. It's our most precious commodity. We have to be very mindful about how we spend it and who we spend it with and what we spend it thinking about and participating in and so on. And when we can get to that awareness, I think that's where a lot of our freedom lies.
I have a friend, Deborah Oakland. You might know her. She's a big advocate, courage to change, but she always says, you have a voice and you have a choice. And I love that because we do. We need to be taking an active role in our own lives and participating. You know, we all have free will and we can use it to do really great things or really bad things. And I think giving up the expectations that we know what's best for us, I think that's a real pill to swallow in humility. And I think that's why I really am a big advocate of praying, because it takes humility to pray and it takes humility to change. It takes humility to grow. It takes humility, I'm sure, to do all you do with the thousands of, you have thousands of clients that you work with in their soul journeys, and it takes humility. And that, to me, is a really great indicator of greatness. And, you know, in the radio show, and you would be one of those people to interview, I mean, the people that are really doing the most to make a difference in the world, that have that peace, are people that are usually humble. It's like Socrates, you know. I never teach anybody anything. I just ask a lot of questions. You know, my great gift in knowing is that I don't know. And I think that we're just all putting those eyedroppers in the ocean, as Mother Teresa would say. You know, everybody's got their eyedropper to put in. It's so small. But, you know, if somebody doesn't do it, if nobody did it, there'd be no ocean. You know, we all have a part to contribute. And I think that if we spent our focus on, okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to do for me to be the best me? It takes a lot of that pressure of worrying what everybody else thinks and all this other stuff that doesn't do any good, you know? The more we are concerned about what other people think, the less we're really loving ourselves. And not in a love selfish way, but in a love way that we're unique and we have free will and we're one of a kind, we're unrepeatable for all time. And that's pretty awesome. And there's a lot of dignity in that. And the people you touch in your life, the people I touch in my life, you know, everybody has a unique network of people that they can make a difference with, good or bad. And that's a choice. And, you know, sometimes we get focused on, you know, it's like, if you want to say it this way, like sins of commission. But what about the sins of omission, the good things that we could do that we don't do because we're afraid or we don't want to be thought of in a certain way, you know? I mean, all together, it's we have to do the best we can with everything we've got in this one day. I'm fascinated by near-death experiences. I just love that. There's a new show, the Biography Channel show, Beyond and Back. I love that show. We'll have to get the guests on there and have a community call sometime. And they all talk about whether they go to the other side, whatever they see, whether it be you call it heaven, you call it hell, good, bad, whatever it is. They all talk about the one thing that matters when they have that gift of returning is knowing that the only thing that matters is the good we do for other people. That's it. So, you know, measuring your life by how are people a better person for having met you, or are they a worse person for having met you? You know, are you a better person for knowing you? I mean, if you're always fighting with yourself, not forgiving yourself, and not learning and growing and being compassionate to yourself, you can never be compassionate with somebody else. You know, that gets to the control issue again. If somebody is really, really toxic in their words, I promise you, they're toxic in their mind. And their mind is connected to their heart. And their heart is connected to their emotions. When you see somebody's temperature of negativity, they have a fever of spiritual illness. And when you look at that person from a place of, that person is really sick, whether they know it or not, they're really sick. And that's not a good place to be. And, you know, when you look at somebody in that way, you detach from the emotional, it's about me, I caused it, I'm the fault of it. You detach from getting in the way. If I asked everybody here if they went to a mental institution and everybody yelled at them saying they were ugly, they were fat, they were stupid, I don't know, think of anything negative in your head that you have that's a tape that you can't stand, and you went in there and somebody that you knew was in a straitjacket started yelling that to you, would you be emotionally triggered? No. Well, why? The question is why. Why can that person say it to you and it doesn't bother you, but your husband, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your boss, when they say the exact same thing, why do you go off the handle and OCD about it? Well, the difference is the source. The words are the same, but the source. And what's that source? It's the person. And why does the person in the mental institution not bother you, but the person who said it in your family does? Because it's what you attach, the meaning you attach to that person as being superior, as being more important, as being judgmental with you, whatever it is. And that's where the work needs to be done. You know, it's not, if it was the word, if it was the actual word of what was being said, then everybody saying it would have the same effect on you, but it doesn't. You know, it's that old, the salt only hurts on an open wound. So you have to really detach and ask yourself these things. And you're not going to be able to ask yourself these things if nobody's taught you. It's like any language. And, you know, nobody has any shame asking somebody to teach them a new language, but everybody thinks there's something wrong with them for, you know, maybe getting some help in an area that they need help in or doing a little introspective work. And, you know, I think that that's why shows like yours, the work you do and some of the work hopefully I'm doing, you know, is really giving people a new way of thinking, because a new way of thinking creates a new way of being, and a new way of being creates a new way of feeling, you know, and it all connects. And the more you experience the good results from different behavior, the more likely you are to continue towards that trend. And there's just so much to discover, and there's so many people doing great work. And the bottom line is, nobody has all the answers, you know? And that's okay. There's no right or wrong. The left foot and the right foot, they're different for a reason. They, both of you, their differences help get you to where you want to go. You know, a tree wouldn't be a tree if it just had one leaf. There's lots of different leaves. It's take what you like and leave the rest. If somebody listens today and they say, you know, the oh yeah buts that you were talking about, oh yeah, but, oh yeah, but. Okay, so if you heard 10 things today and you oh yeah, but 8 of them, you still had 2 new ideas of value. That's 2 more than you had before you tuned in. So you're 2 ahead. You know, it's just, you know, yeah. If you can't see well, go buy some glasses. If your spiritual vision's a little crooked, you know, get some spiritual clarity. I mean, we all help each other. And that's the beauty. We all help each other. Nobody can do it alone. Not me, not you, not Mother Teresa, nobody. We all need each other. And that's the gift. And nobody's finished yet. And that's the other gift.
So 2 gifts that we're closing off our show with today is that we can't do it alone, and we all have a gift to share.
That's right. And don't go to the hardware store for bread.
Unless you're going to one of those Walmart superstores now where they have everything that you need.
That's true.
Well, Deb, it's been such a joy to have you. I mean, we could talk forever, and I'd love to have you back on the show, because this feels like it's just sort of the forward to a long series of conversations that would be so helpful to folks. And for those of you that maybe miss the information, you can learn more about Deb at www.greenskyandbluegrass.com. She has written an amazing book called The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue. Not to mention, she's obviously a very wise and amazing coach and motivational speaker, and definitely encourage you to check her out. She has also got a radio show, which I am happy to have graced those airwaves. It's called The Best People We Know on Blog Talk Radio. So want to thank all of you for joining us today and tuning in, and thanks again to you, Deb, and wishing you all a wonderful rest of your day and your week. Namaste.
You've been listening to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose expert, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Jennifer for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. To find out more about Jennifer Longmore, visit her on her site at souljourneys.ca.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. CreatingGreaterPossibilities.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect. Make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody. We'll see you there.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.